Moncrief on News Talk.
As you've been hearing on the news, the US is enduring what is has become a pretty regular event, the shutdown of government because the Democrats and Republicans are unable to agree a funding bill. The last time this happened, the shutdown lasted 35 days. And some think this one might go even longer, threatening jobs, education and well-being. Professor Scott Lucas is Professor of International Politics at the Clinton Institute in UCD. Afternoon, Scott.
Good afternoon to you, Sean.
Could you start by explaining the mechanics of this? Because a lot of people might be thinking the Republicans have a majority in both houses. Why is there a problem for them to pass a funding bill?
Sean, you have a special provision when it comes to a funding bill, including in this case the request for what's called a continuing resolution, you know, sort of to extend funding for another few months. And that is it has to have 60 votes in favor in the Senate, which has 100 seats. So it's not just a majority. It's actually a supermajority, as it were. And last night, just before the shutdown, the Republicans could only muster 55 votes in favor, a couple of Democrats crossing the aisle to join almost all the Republicans.
And I assume this bill, given the track record of the administration so far, already features very pared-down spending.
Well, what has caused this dispute, Sean, is that this bill is a continuation, effectively, of the Trump administration's approach from earlier in the year. Back in March, as the Trump administration was just sweeping through the government, gutting agencies, you might remember Elon Musk wielding his chainsaw. They asked for a continuing resolution, continued funding of the government, even as many, many federal employees were losing their jobs. Now, the Democrats at that point, or specifically the Senate leader, a Democrat leader in Chuck Schumer, chose not to press this and said, look, we shouldn't vote to shut down the government at this point. But later on in the spring, the Trump administration pushed through what they wanted to call the Big Beautiful Bill. And not only did it contain cuts to many government services, specifically, for the first time, you had major cuts to Medicare and Medicaid, $850 billion in the years to come. And what the Trump administration has done is, on top of that specific cut, it's trying to gut Obamacare. Now, this was the major piece of legislation under which 38 million Americans have been able to get insurance since 2013. And the Trump administration is trying to cut the subsidies, which enable them to get that insurance, which will double premiums for many Americans and thus make healthcare unaffordable.
So for Democrats, is that the sticking point?
Yeah, Democrats have chosen to make healthcare the key issue. I mean, they've got many issues with the Trump administration, but they have chosen to focus specifically on restoration of the funding for Medicare and Medicaid and for some type of security for Obamacare, or as it's formally known, the Affordable Care Act, and the Trump administration is not budging. Donald Trump has said he wants to kill off Obamacare. And more importantly, almost all the Republicans in Congress are still enabling Trump and saying, no, we're not going to discuss health care at this point. Give us an extension of the funding, and maybe down the road we might talk to you about it.
Yeah. So now that we know there's going to be a de facto shutdown, what gets shut down, Scott? It's not everything, I assume.
No, I mean, you have essential government services, so, you know, security. So that means your military, you know, they continue to operate. Law enforcement agencies like the FBI continue to operate. The Immigration and Customs Enforcement, which has become notorious for sweeping up migrants and asylum seekers, they can operate, but their staff work without pay. Technically, they're furloughed. Now, I don't think that'll affect the military or the FBI, but it might affect, for example, if you're visiting the United States, the Transportation Security Administration, TSA, which handles security at airports. Some of their staff during the last major shutdown, which occurred under Trump in 2019, they just didn't show up for work because they weren't getting paid. When it comes to non-essential services, those folks are just told, go home. You're not getting paid. You don't need to report. That will affect, for example, staff at national parks. May make it mean your national park is closed if you're wanting to visit in the next few weeks. It may mean that if you've got services such as aid for food supplement, you know, what we nutritional supplement, you might not be able to collect that. And it does mean that even though Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid, that people should still receive those benefits, there may be delays in processing them.
Okay, so that's affecting quite a lot. The politics of this, though, seem to be, or certainly Trump's attitude seems to be, go for it. This gives me the chance to fire even more government employees.
Look, I mean, the Trump administration was already scorched earth on this. Whatever we think about the shutdown, whether it should happen or not, the Trump administration is much more organized in Trump 2.0, that it's closing agencies down, which it's done like the U.S. Agency for International Development, trying to do so with the Department of Education. And then it's fired not just tens of thousands of workers. We're talking now hundreds of thousands of workers who've been fired or forced into resignations because the Trump folks simply only want agencies that they can bend to their will. They really don't want autonomous agencies. And so, yes, there is a concern here that while the Democrats are fighting this on the issue of health care, that the Trump administration will use this as a pretext to fire quite a few of the 750,000 workers who have now been sent home without pay for the foreseeable future.
And I imagine from the Democrat point of view, they're thinking that this will, the longer this goes on, the more it will hurt perhaps Trump voters, Republican voters, when they don't get their Social Security or, you know, when the paychecks have stopped.
Yeah, I mean, beyond, you know, the human cost of this, which I'm glad you've recognized, you know, the political battle now is that each side will stake out its ground and says, hey, we're the good guys here. You need to blame the other folks. So the White House has been sending out a series of messages with the falsehood that the Democrats are closing the government down to give illegal immigrants free federal health care. Completely untrue. Donald Trump has even supported that blame game with two, not just one, but two racist deep fake AI tweets attacking the Democratic leadership. For their part, the Democrats are going to come back and say, look, we have to draw a line on this. You know, we would want to keep the government open, but, you know, this threat to healthcare is not just a, you know, a passing threat. This is a fundamental threat. And if we don't act now, well, you've shown how much damage you've caused so far, you'll cause even more.
Mm. And this is possibly, is this arguably the first chance that Democrats have had to attack Trump significantly?
Yeah, I think so, Sean. I think it was interesting back in March because the Democrats in the House wanted to take on Trump then. You know, they saw what was coming. And so they wanted to go ahead and, you know, shut down the government, you know, in other words, not pass the continuing resolution. And a lot of the Democratic senators agreed, but Chuck Schumer, you know, the top Democrat in the Senate said, no, not yet, not this time. Here we are 6 months later. And I think a lot of those Democrats are saying, well, you know, if not yet, when? And because of that 60 vote provision, which is required in terms of funding measures, that's where they get leverage, whereas they normally don't have it because they are a minority, albeit with only a small Republican majority in both chambers.
What does history teach about this, though? Because these shutdowns have taken place before. I think the last really long one was 2018. Who tends to get the blame for that?
I think if you don't have a coherent message on why you're doing this, I think that's when you get hit. So the longest shutdown in U.S. government history was the start of 2019, actually, when Trump took this to the wall over his wall with Mexico and said, look, give me the money for that wall with Mexico or I'm going to close everything down. And he had to back off after 35 days. I mean, too many people were getting hurt. You had federal workers who were having to go to food banks. You had federal workers that were having to borrow money from family or friends or take out loans. And people were getting upset about it. I think Trump lost out in that because people thought, wall with Mexico, really? This time, I think I wouldn't want to predict which way this goes, but I do think the Democrats are on much more solid ground here than the White House. I think Trump's so-called base will back him over a lot of issues. We know that, come hell or high water. But we're not talking about Trump's base here. We're talking about a lot of people in the middle of American politics, some of whom might have voted for Trump, who are now seeing an existential issue, their health, which is on the line. And I think if the Democrats' message is coherent on this, then I think it's the Trump folks will be on the defensive.
Would you predict this is going to go on for a while?
You can't predict with Donald Trump, Sean. You know that. You know, he actually you know, threatened to shut down the government on a number of occasions. And on some occasions, after 24, 48 hours, 72, he would back off. He'd flip, you know, the Trump always chickens out narrative. But we saw in 2019, if he's in a bad mood and if his ego's invested, he could go on for weeks. I think here, what may determine this is a convergence that we did not have back in 2019. It's not just the shutdown. It's the chaotic tariffs, which are going to begin to do damage to American consumers and American manufacturers. It's the attacks on the Federal Reserve, which are affecting the ability of the Fed to govern the economy. And the outcome is you're getting a rise in inflation combined with a stall out on the economy, what we call stagflation. I think if that stagflation begins to bite in the next few weeks alongside the shutdown, Trump either faces the decision, you know, that's it, you know, I'm going scorched earth, or he has to back off.
Scott Lucas is Professor of International Politics at the Clinton Institute in UCD. Scott, thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Sean.
And somebody's texting in to ask, is a funding bill similar to our budget? Well, yeah, I think it is, as far as I understand it. Another texter says, I think Trump will roll back on this. Look at all he has done so far and the amount of U-turns he has made since coming into power this term. If you believe that he was following through on all he says and does, you would never get out of bed in the morning. It's exhausting, not to mention irresponsible. Somebody else agrees, if Taco Trump is anything to go on, there will be free health insurance for everyone, and he'll call it a great win and the art of the deal.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.